We have been in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. When we went through the first nine chapters served as kind of an introduction. But starting then with the sayings, it was different. So for the first nine chapters, I can remember one week where we actually went through the entire chapter for that introduction. But when we hit chapter 10, it was different. Then we began taking only four or five verses at a time. And then we would actually have a question that would lead into that particular verse. So for Father's Day, I decided to stay in Proverbs. So if you want to, you can get to the book of Proverbs. But the verses that we're going to look at are actually from different chapters in Proverbs. We're still going to lead into each verse with a question. So this is focusing on dads. Let's go ahead and get started. If you have a Bible, of course, you're welcome to go ahead and use that Bible, compare it, what's up on the slide. But I have, as I have been in this series, I've picked a particular Bible version for each slide, and we'll go ahead and show that to you. So dads, here's your first question. How's your compass? That is looking at 1:8, Proverbs 1:8. The church family actually looked at this verse, the verse that goes with this, in the beginning of February. But this time, I'm going to be referring to it in the New English Translation's wording. So here it is. Listen, my child, to the instruction from your father, and do not forsake the teaching from your mother. Now, before we really get into this verse, you can note that the verse references both a mother and a father. Many verses in Proverbs that mention the father also mention the mother in the same verse. So I'm going to show you this whole verse now as an example of that. And the general lesson, of course, that we would take from that is that both parents are to guide. In God's plan, both parents are to guide in the spiritual formation of their children. But this is Father's Day. So in the subsequent verses where both are mentioned, I'm just going to go ahead and focus on the dad part of the verse. Okay? If there is a single parent home, of course, the parents with the kids would be the ones doing the spiritual formation. But if a child does have both parents in the home, in God's eyes, the father is the primary one responsible. And that's why when you do have verses, if you were to look up verses that have a father and mother mentioned in the same verse, that's why the father is always the one who's mentioned first, because in God's eyes, he's the one primarily responsible. And because some might be thinking about it, you know, the different variations on this, if there is a two-parent home, but if the father has essentially abdicated his responsibility to oversee the spiritual development of his child, of his children, well, of course, then, you know, the mother should still seek to spiritually develop the kids. And that leads us back to our question, and it leads us back to verse 8. Here you see the new version of verse 8. So listen to the instruction from your father. This is the very first time in the book of Proverbs that the father is mentioned. If you do have a Bible that's open right now to Proverbs chapter 1, go ahead and scan those first verses that we started out with when we first looked at Proverbs, which is verses 1 through 7. And I'm saying that because I'm going to now appeal to the context of what comes before verse 8. I think the context proves the point that I'm going to make. Verse 8 presumes that the father has a desire to train his child in the knowledge of God's truth and for that child to get wisdom. Would you agree with that? A few of you would. You're mildly shaking your heads. I guess that's, you know, good for a start. So that's the presumption. Starting with this verse, the book of Proverbs presumes that a father wants his child to grow in knowledge of God's word, his truth, and to acquire wisdom. And as we've said earlier in our study of Proverbs, wisdom equals skill. That's literally how you could translate the word. Wisdom equals skill. So in this context, then we're talking about godly skills, skills that we're meant to use every day in our lives. So that's the presumption. So dads, how is your compass? And by that I'm talking about the moral compass. The verse refers to instruction from the father. Instruction from the father. So Each dad has a sense of what they consider right and wrong. We're not talking about just Christian dads. We're talking about all dads. All dads have a sense of what they consider right and what they consider wrong, and that is your moral compass. That's what guides you, right? That's your sense of right and wrong. By however much they are around you, dad, your kids will see your moral compass. It will come out. And the compass that you show is the compass that you teach. Shall I say that again? The compass that you show is the compass that you teach. Every father teaches their son or daughter, whether they're trying to teach them, whether they're aware of that or not. So the question is, what are we teaching our children? Now, my father taught me some good things, some basic things when I was growing up, but he taught me some very bad things in life. And I don't know about you, but in my case, for the worst of that, the worst things that he taught were during my formative years. And so when we have something like that from our dad in those formative years, it can take practically a lifetime to work those things out. Listen to the instruction from your fathers. So our teaching fathers is tied to our moral compass. If we say great things, but our behavior is not consistent with those great things, our children will learn that too. So Proverbs was written and composed by King Solomon. He had one son. The Bible only mentions one son, and that was Rehoboam. Solomon taught Rehoboam with words, but Solomon's life taught Rehoboam other things, opposite things. And Rehoboam ended up not following the teaching that was done with words. What we really believe, what we truly think is right and wrong, that will come out with how we live. So fathers, how's your compass? Our next question is, why do you discipline your kids? Now this is assuming that one way or another each father here does indeed, or did indeed, discipline his children, especially when they were young. We also saw the verse that I'm about to show earlier in the year. It was at the end of February, but it was really, really brief. So here is Proverbs 3:12. This is again in the New English Translation. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. So disciplines is the most common word that I found for this verse across different Bible versions. I saw a couple Bible versions that have corrects, a couple had reproves, but the sense that is behind this is that the father is reacting to the child having done something wrong. So we said before in our study of Proverbs that there are all sorts of ways to discipline a child. It can vary based on whether it's a boy or a girl. It can vary with age, it can vary with circumstances, it can vary with severity. When I was very young, my dad spanked me. When I got older, he progressed up to a belt. And some of you have experienced those things too. But the question that I want our fathers to think about is why? Why do you discipline your kids? Well, you know, when I was growing up, my dad disciplined me, so I did the same thing with my kids. My father was way too severe with us growing up, so I swore as a dad that I would never do that. Are those our kind of reasons? So this verse, if you look at it, it provides a very interesting connection on why discipline children. Why discipline them? Because we delight in them. The word has a sense of being pleased with our kids. And so, especially as you take that as a parallel to the first part of that verse, the idea of being pleased or delighted with the child is connected with loving them. So firstly, the idea is we are pleased with how they are, at least in some aspects, at some times we are pleased with them. But the idea is we want to be more pleased. We want to be more delighted with them. And so we discipline and we correct them when they're doing something wrong. Fathers, why? Why do you discipline your kids? Is it because we're angry with them? You probably heard of the technique that rather than, you know, giving out discipline immediately when we're angry, sometimes it's better to count to 10 to be in a better frame of mind. But disciplining our children is important, because if we don't establish boundaries and correct them when they cross those boundaries as kids, we will see them struggle even as adults. But there should be a motive, there should be a reason to it. And this verse is saying to turn them into people in whom we will take even more delight. Our next question is related to our first question. We asked, how's your compass? Now the question is, what rules do you follow? I'm going to go ahead and show you part of chapter 6, verse 20. This is in the New Living Translation. My son, obey your father's commands. The word for commands there is a general word. I notice that some versions have commandment. And if it says commandment, then we kind of think that maybe it's talking about spiritual commands. But the original word really is just all purpose. It could have referred to divine or man-made commands. In context, though, just like the instruction from the father, the presumption here is that we're talking about the dad passing along commands from God. So this verse is an exhortation for a child to obey the commands based in God's truth, based in the scriptures. But Pastor Jeff, if verse 20 is talking about the child, if this is an exhortation to a child, why are you asking the fathers, what rules do you follow? And really, this is the way I meant to say it. What rules do you follow? Because all dads have this internal moral compass. We all have this sense of what's right and what's wrong. It follows that all dads have rules that they follow. And maybe, Dad, maybe your rules were passed down, like from a family member. Don't trust any politician. Maybe the rule was one that was just widely held in society. A man does not hit a woman. Maybe it's a rule that sadly was learned over time. Always look out for number one, because no one else will. Everybody has rules that they follow. Every guy has rules that he follows. And they don't have to be written rules, right? They could be just internal rules that you know. And a child's obedience to rules is really important because they help a child relate to authority. And the reality is that authorities exist in life. We may find a person that bucks any authority outside themselves, but everyone has to relate to authority. That's how an ordered society can function. So we have plenty of examples nowadays in the U.S. of people breaking rules, from high to low, right, in terms of the status of these people. But that makes it even more important that our children learn to follow rules. So, Father, what rules do you follow? If you were the kind of father that fits into the category of do as I say, not as I do, how do you think that's going to turn out? My son, obey my commands. Or more realistically, son, please do as I say. But Dad, when you're asked to do stuff, you don't do it. People can spot hypocrisy a mile away, and that includes our children. If they see us living by the same commands that we tell them, it can have a big positive impact on them. And again, I'm mostly talking about commands and rules that God lays down in Scripture, but the principle actually applies to commands and rules in general, too. We want our children to learn to follow rules and to do as they have been told. And we can help them in doing that by setting a consistent, positive example in that area. I think this next question is bound to get us fathers thinking. What are your kids proud of? Check out this verse from chapter 17, verse 6 in the Christian Standard Bible, the pride of children is their fathers. Now, first of all, I want to recognize that there is a difference that exists in some Bible versions. So I noticed that in the New International Version and in the New Living Translation, they make it parents instead of fathers. But we're just focusing whether or not there's legitimacy to that. The majority have fathers, but whether or not there's legitimacy to that, let's just focus on children being proud of their dads right now. Dads, your children are proud of you, and I believe in general they want to be. I think that's actually hardwired by God into people. If children cannot find any reason at all to be proud of their father, there has to be a really strong reason behind that. But even if there are negatives, as I thought about this, even in my own example, even if there are negatives, kids will be drawn to something that's admirable or positive. Why do you think the stereotypical talk around the schoolyard was, my daddy does this, and my daddy can do that? That was, it happened so often as I was growing up that we would hear things about kids talking about their fathers. Even as kids, we came up with this little routine that centered around a stereotype of a kid having a fireman as a dad. So if somebody said, my daddy can lift 150 pounds, and somebody else would say, oh yeah, my dad can lift 200 pounds, then we would say, well, my daddy's a fireman and he can lift 300 pounds. It shows how mature we were. Anyway, the joke eventually got shortened where we would just go on to say, well, my daddy's a fireman, and then we would trail off. We wouldn't even fill in the latter part of that. It's natural for kids to want to do something like that. A child may have, you know, pride in their dad having hunting ability, or how long they can hold their breath underwater, or how good they are at arm wrestling. When I was growing up, my dad was overly secretive. He had reason to be. And he was married and he was divorced 4 times. But he was genuinely really, really good at restoring antique furniture. Children will find something that is admirable or positive. So the question is, what are your kids proud of? This might make interesting lunchtime conversation for those of you who have your kids around, but chances are we're gonna need someone else rather than the dad asking, maybe somebody like the mom asking on their behalf. The greatest thing, of course, is when it's for things that are so soulful or spiritual that we want to hear. A dad's patience, a father's practicality, a willingness to drop everything in order to help. Better yet, a father's spiritual maturity, a knowledge of scripture, things like that. And, you know, it may be, fathers, that we're never going to hear an answer to this question of what your kids are proud of. But aim for the best things. Aim for the Christ-like things. And I think you can be confident that they will be proud. Where'd that emotion come from? Time for the last question. Do you smile because of your kids? And this may seem like a strange question. I'm going to show you not just one verse with regards to this, but actually two. The difference is that one is going to state the truth negatively, and then the other one is going to express the truth positively. So we'll end with the positive one, okay? But first, go ahead and take a look at chapter 17, verse 21. This is in the International Children's Bible. It is sad to have a foolish son. There is no joy in being the father of a fool. So we're asking, do you smile because of your kids? And this first verse is saying, no, you're not really smiling if you have a foolish son. And we're going to be equal here in the service. So we're going to say, no, you won't be happy. You won't be smiling if you have a foolish son or a foolish daughter. There is no joy. There are no smiles in being the father of a foolish child. So this is a good time for us to review once again who the fool is in the book of Proverbs. It's basically the godless person. It's the person who is not pursuing God, and it's a person who's focused on self. Those are basically Proverbs' definition of a fool. The godless person, the one who's not pursuing God, and the one who is focused on self. That doesn't bring a smile to a dad's face. And again, what's presumed here is that the father himself is seeking to live a right life in accordance with God's truth. And so it's what the father wants for his child or grandchild. That's the negative way of putting it. Let's go ahead and see the positive way. This is from Proverbs 23:24, and it's going to be in the New Living Translation. The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. Can I ask for an amen from the fathers on that one? Okay. Can you see how this is essentially declaring the same truth, but it's just, you know, putting it kind of in the reverse? There's no joy in being the father of a fool. The father of godly children has cause for joy. As we think about ways of trying to flesh out these verses, something that I've not yet talked about this morning is the idea of being a father or a grandfather who is not one physically, but talking about a father or a grandfather who is one spiritually, soulfully. When it comes to celebrating Father's Day, same thing for Mother's Day, we talk about how you can be a parent or a grandparent in a non-physical way. That you can be a parent or a grandparent in a soulful way, in a spiritual way to those who are younger, especially as we are part of a church family. Men, the reason all of us, not just the birth dads and adoptive dads here, can think about these questions that we've been looking at is because we are in a church family. Family. We're not just relating as spiritual brothers and sisters, but we have spiritual sons and daughters and spiritual grandsons and granddaughters. And some of us might not even realize the impact that we have, the role that we play for someone else in that regard. But thinking about this last question, do you smile because of your kids? It made me think of what the Apostle John said toward the end of his life. The next time, I don't think I've really thought about this before, but in preparing for this Sunday, the next time that you look at the epistles of the Apostle John, and especially like one, the first epistle, because it's the longest, take note of how many times he speaks in terms of family. Many of you know what I'm going to show you from 3 John. So this is verse 4 of that one chapter letter. The apostle says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. So John wasn't talking about being a father physically. He was talking about being a father spiritually, and his greatest joy was for those who were his spiritual children to be living day to day in God's truth. So it may be hard, maybe for some kids, to find a way to be proud of us. We may think that. But we should find a way for us to find joy in them. I found joy in my 3 boys at every stage of their lives. Vivi and I have noticed that for some, they just so enjoyed when the kids were tiny. And then you get to the teenagers, and it's like, and they sort of put up with that. To be honest, I've found joy in every stage that my boys were in. And now it's true as, you know, they're adults and they have kids of their own. But the greatest joy should come from knowing that our kids are walking in the truth. And I hope you feel that way too. So physical dads and granddads and spiritual soulful dads and granddads, some of these questions this morning, you're going to think that they apply more than others, but they are worthy of thought on this Father's Day. How's your compass? Why do you discipline their kids? And I thought I needed to stop here for a second in the midst of reading that list and to say this. We have spiritual, right, dads, granddads, and they may help out with children's church or teaching a Sunday school class of little kids. I know you know this, but the type of discipline, the way that you would do discipline, of course it's going to be different in a church family than it would be like if you were just with your own kids. Why do you discipline your kids? What rules do you follow? What are your kids proud of? And do you smile because of your kids? Whether physical or spiritual or soulful, we should seek to be the best fathers, the best grandfathers that we can be, the most consistent godly men that we can be to God's glory. The people around us need that. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, as we think about this, we think about the relationships, and I know, Father God, I know situations where parents can lose contact with a child, and it could be quite difficult. But even being a good dad, just by regularly praying for them in that situation, but where the relationships are there, Father, the own relationships that we have physically, but then also the ones in this church family. Give us wisdom. Give us maturity in Christ. Help us to be the ones that are memorable in good ways. The ones that people, even in the church family, might be able to say that they would have a sense of pride in us. And if we do this, we're just reflecting what a great Heavenly Father you are. And so we have that desire, Lord, to live this right and to be the dads and granddads that you want us to be. We can't change the past, and so we look to right now. We look to the future. Lord, don't just give us wisdom for these things. Don't just give us skill, but give us opportunities to live it out, to flesh these things out. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.